What does the number $5,450 mean to you?
The Joel Osteen Remix, baby!
Well, if you want to sit on the fourth floor of the next great Joel Osteen spiritual revival that's in Sunrise, Florida on February the 8th, well, that's how much it's going to cost you, $5,450. And of course, this is all for the glory of the Lord. This is all for his righteousness and his glory. Now, for those of you who do not have great faith, or you may have little faith, for you peasants who do not know how to trust God and believe God for money because your faith is weak and your faith is low and you are just a weak, simple-minded, lazy Christian who don't know how to pray and thank God for great blessings like Joel Osteen. For you peasants, well, we have tickets that are affordable for you too. How about $369 for row D on the fourth floor? What about $324 for section 133, row 17? What about $319? And for you very poor and you very derelict, $270 to hear the greatest intercler, the greatest orator, the greatest spiritual giant that has ever been, Joel Osteen. What a heretic.
It's pure evil!
The Luminary, and you are listening to The Truth Stand from Charlotte, North Carolina, saying you can chase a lot all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. And we're taking a stand here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am behind the platinum blue microphone. I am in front of the Dell Inspiron 6, whatever, whatever. I'm recording on Audacity. And to my left, I have the Galaxy Tab S4. And to my right, I have the trusty Pixel 2 XL. And people, pray for your boy because I want a smartwatch. That's right, the Tick Pro Watch 2, or the Tick Pro, you know what I said, the Tick Watch Pro number 2, that's it. I want that on Amazon, $249, go ahead and bless your boy. I'm kidding, you don't have to do that. But seriously, I do want a smartwatch though. So pray for your boy that the Lord opens up funds for that. But with that being said, I am pumped, I am excited once again to be bringing you the truth. Because when you're listening to this show, you are on the cutting edge. When you're listening to this show, you are hearing what you've never heard before, in the way it's never been spoken before, with an energy and a passion and a conviction that I do not apologize for. That's why my voice is loud. That's why you hear the energy. That's why I go on and on and on and on. That's why I do all that. Because that is why the Lord has me here. So, anyway, there's a lot going on in Christianity. And I can tell you people, it is so much to where I just have to take a break from it. I have to step back from it. That's why you did not hear a Sunday show last week. One, because it was New Year's. But the other is because, quite frankly, I just didn't want to do it because I am so sick and tired of what I see every freaking day. So I'm going to hit you right away with a little bit of a news blitz to tell you just the things that I saw that fascinate me about what's going on in the Christian world, or the things that are affecting the Christian body. I've talked about this company before, Apple. Many of you have iPhones. Many of you have iPads or Pad Minis or whatever it is. Many of you are a part of the Apple ecosystem. Many of you are fanboys of Apple. But let me tell you something. I covered it on a previous podcast. Tim Cook, the head of Apple, the CEO of Apple, definitely wants to silence Christianity. He definitely wants to silence it because he considers us a bunch of haters. He considers us evil individuals, and he thinks it's a sin not to combat people like us because he thinks we're a bunch of haters. Now, with that being said, these people have a lot of power and control. I've always said it before. People like Tim Cook, people who own Google, people who own all these other platforms. Let me tell you, these people do not separate what they believe from who they are. They do not sit there and say, okay, well, that's just business. Well, these people have a freedom of expression. No, 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 no. They crack down on Christians. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about a compromise that many Christians are making right now. Many Christians who run our universities. Many Christians who run organizations such as the National Evangelical Association. People that are called leaders of the Christian faith. Which, by the way, I despise that terminology because I think it's fake. I think it's not real. Sure, the Bible talks about leadership, but godly leadership, God's way, not the way the Christian church does it today, which is to port what the world considers to be leadership and those methods, those styles, and port it and make it a part of Christianity. That's bad leadership. That is ungodly leadership. And we're going to address that. I'm also going to address Beth Moore. Beth Moore, latest heretic, hates men, hates the Christian church. She wants you to bow the knee and apologize for all the things that we have allegedly done to women, all the sexism and whatever. I'm going to address Beth Moore because she said something that's incoherent and just absolutely stupid. Okay, we're going to address that. I'm also going to address this Shout Your Abortion movement, which is deadly. It is sick and it is perverse. We're also going to address Christian celebrityism. All of that and more on the Truth Stand. But right now, here is the news blitz for you. Christian Post reports, Apple pulls Christian Ministries ex-gay app. This article is written by Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post. Says Apple pulled Christian Ministries app after the LGBT advocates said it portrayed being gay as a sickness. It's a charge that the ministry says is false. NBC News reported that the tech giant removed the app that was developed by Living Hope Ministries, a Texas-based organization, following a change.org petition from gay rights groups that Truth Wins Out, or the gay rights groups called Truth Wins Out. The petition called the ex-gay app dangerous, bigoted, and hateful. The app falsely portrays being gay as an addiction, sickness, and sin, the petition argued. Living Hope Ministry is expressing disappointment, but says their work will continue. We are saddened by Apple and Microsoft's removal of our app because of the single person's false accusation. Regardless of their decision, we will continue to make the app and our services available to those who seek him. This would be Ricky Shillette, executive director of the group. Quote, we are a ministry that for nearly 30 years has helped individuals resolve their feelings that they deem incongruent with their faith. We help people deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ through the Bible, study, and accountability. We walk with them to align their lives with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Through support groups, they realize that they are not alone and are able to share honestly and openly in a non-condemning atmosphere about their struggles, passions, and victories. From chaos and confusion, they often find peace, hope, and a deeper sense of personal wholeness. Our ministry is free and strictly voluntary. And in a day where diversity and tolerance is celebrated, I would hope it would be extended to the issues of faith and practice. Well, Mr. Shillette, I'm sorry to tell you, sir. No, it's not. It does not work for you. It does not apply to you because, see, you got to understand these people have already determined that you're evil and that you're bad and you must be destroyed at all costs. Sir, there is no fairness with Christianity. There is no equality with Christianity. So let's not try to say, oh my God, oh shucks, oh gee willigers. Why? No. You must understand who these people are. It's the gay Gestapo, quoting Bill Maher.
I think there is a gay mafia. I think if you cross them, you do get whacked.
It's the gay Gestapo. I'm telling you, these people, all they have to do is run around claiming that something is hateful and therefore it must be. Something offended them, so therefore it is. And that's part of the reason why Christian universities are bending over, touching their ankles, and taking it up to shorts. Yeah, I said it. I said it that way because I meant it that way. That's exactly what's happening because they're afraid of that. Well, we're going to continue. Next article. More than 100 believers arrested in Iran amidst government crackdown. Now, this is happening all over the globe. This is happening in China. This is happening in Pakistan, everywhere. This is the reason why people are so gaga over Donald Trump and all of this. And don't get me wrong, I like some of the things Donald Trump has done. I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. Yeah, you heard me. I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. You heard me. But with that being said, there is nothing being said about Christian persecution. If it is, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it's very passive-aggressive, and nothing really gets done about it. But yet, in this country, anybody can claim they're a victim, create a movement and a cult, and completely destroy anybody's life. They're the gay Gestapo. Speaking of the gay Gestapo, I gotta go back to something. You know, we've talked about Lauren Daigle. We talked about her weak profession of faith before men. We talked about her weak stance on homosexuality and her completely unbiblical answer in front of the world and Ellen DeGeneres. And I told you that I believe the reason why she did that is because she does not want the type of backlash that comes from being a Christian in this world, standing up for true biblical things, because she sees what happens. She sees what happens. Now, that's an internal thing that Lauren Daigle is going to have to deal with if indeed she truly is a Christian. And I've also stated that I don't believe she would have been on Ellen DeGeneres' show if Ellen DeGeneres and people like her didn't know that about her, that she wouldn't do those things. You want to know how I know? Because, see, a few years ago, well, maybe it was just a couple years ago, I think it was in 2017, you had a situation, basically, where Ellen DeGeneres invited Kim Burrell, who's a preacher in Houston, Kim Burrell, to sing a song with Pharrell, who's an artist and a producer, a secular artist and producer, because they were on this soundtrack for this movie. And I forget the name of the movie. It was in 2017. It was about the first three black women that was hired as astronauts. And it was a great movie. I just forget the name of it at this time. But she sang a song on there, and I think it was with Pharrell. And so Ellen DeGeneres wanted her to sing that song on her show until she found out that she preaches against homosexuality and calls it a gay spirit. Oh, and as soon as she found that out, she says she could no longer come on her show, and then ripped her a new one for it. Then she decided the following week to bring Pharrell on her show and to continue to castigate her and rip her to pieces. And then Kim Burrell lost her radio show over all of this. So therefore, I can see why Lauren Daigle didn't want to do that. But with that being said, that's the cost to be a Christian in this country. Back to what I was talking about. More than 100 believers arrested in Iran amidst government crackdown, which is happening all over the country, and yet Trump says nothing. This is from the Christian Institute, or Christian.org.uk. Quote, more than 100 Christians have been arrested in Iran in just 1 week in order to cut all contact with religious groups and house churches. They were detained by Iranian authorities, questioned on their involvement in Christian activities, and told to expect a call from the Iran's Ministry of Intelligence. Christian charity Open Doors UK, which speaks out against the persecution of believers, has described the news as highly concerning. Government crackdown, or more than 114 believers were converts to Christianity from Islam, who were accused of proselytizing. Conversion to Christianity is an offense punishable by more than 10 years imprisonment. The recent events are a part of a growing crackdown on Christians by the Islamic Republic. So there you have it. The persecution of the saints continues all over the globe. I talked on my last podcast, which was a quickie truth, about a believer in Uganda who was saved, who rejected Islam, who came to Christianity. And then what happened to this fellow is that he lost everything. His father kicked him off his farm. The wife, the children left him. The neighborhood has shunned him. This has been the cost of being a Christian. And that's what it's like across the Atlantic Ocean to believe in Christ. Keep in mind where we are, and keep in mind what is possibly going to be happening soon. I have someone I want to talk about right now. Now, I typically do not make it a habit of mentioning names of certain individuals because I just don't want to put them over. But this person is a danger. This person is a cancer, and I can see her causing many, many problems in the future. As this is woman, her name is Bono. The last name is Bono, almost like spelled like Sonny Bono. Her name is Amelia Bono, and she runs a group called Shout Your Abortion, or it's a movement called Shout Your Abortion. And here's an article from thechristiannews.net. Shout Your Abortion founder releases book of essays from women that are not sorry for ending their child's life. Now, these are the pro-murderers. These are the people that say it's okay to kill babies and it's okay to murder. Quote, we're not sorry, declares a foreword to a new book released by those behind the Shout Your Abortion movement. The publication of essays, photographs, and interviews compiled and edited by Amelia Bono and Emily Noakes provides background on the unrepentant movement and focuses on the stories of women who have obtained an abortion in an effort to illustrate the profound political power of defying shame. Quote, abortion is good for women, families, and communities, and the proof is reflected in our own lives. The foreword written by Lindsay West claims many of us have our careers and our children because of our abortions. Some of us would never have survived our abuses or our addictions without our abortions. One in four of us have had lives that were determined in monumental ways by our abortions. And the vast majority of us do not regret our decisions. It states, but if nobody will admit they have had an abortion, we aren't able to illustrate the connection between having an abortion and living a better life. And as previously reported, the Shout Your Abortion movement began in 2015 after she, Bono, was upset because people had a negative response to her posting her abortion story on Facebook and learned that the House of Representatives had voted to defund Planned Parenthood or Planned Murder. She shared the status with West, who then asked if she could post it on Twitter as well. And there was a hashtag added, Shout Your Abortion, and it took off. And I don't really care to read the rest of this abomination, with the exception of this. This is why I like Christian News Net, because these are actual Christians trying to do the work of Christian ministry. And they gave a few scriptures, Jeremiah 8:12, in response to this, Jeremiah 8:12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8, and I'm going to read the entire passage. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as Gentiles, which know not God. For God hath not called us into uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. Now that's the difference between them and thechristianpost.com. The Christian Post would have never posted scripture because, well, let me leave the Christian Post alone for now because we will get to them in just one moment. But this is this woman who runs the Shout Your Abortion movement. And she's also now trying to preach this garbage to kids. This also from thechristiannews.net. Shout Your Abortion founder talks to children about abortion, claims it's all a part of God's plan. Then she goes on to have an argument with a boy that doesn't believe that abortion is right. She goes on to have an argument with this guy and then claims that, oh, well, I feel like I'm forced to create life. And that shouldn't be the case. No woman should be forced to create life. Stupid and pure garbage. Pure sickness. And here's a few quotes from a few of the people who watch or pay attention to thechristiannews.net. I could not finish watching this. It broke my heart. These children were used as pawns to promote an agenda. As many have said, let's also have a conversation with some who regrets their abortion. I know from personal experience that most women do regret their choice. Far as I'm concerned, this brainwashing of our young people is ridiculous. Since they are led to believing her, they should see what happens when a baby is aborted. Perhaps listen to a person who survived an abortion. Another person wrote, sick. I was sitting watching this. My little sister sat across from me. I looked up and saw her in tears after having overheard this video. She goes, so, did she really have an abortion? And broke down. It is so obvious that this is wrong. A child can see it. But these people can't. Choice, it's despicable. And then the ChristianNews.net, once again, because this is an actual Christian ministry, quotes a scripture, 1 Timothy 4:2, states that in the last days, there will be those who will have their conscience seared with hot iron. Proverbs 6:17 also declares that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Oh, by the way, 30,000 babies were aborted in Pennsylvania in 2017, and most of them were to unwed mothers. Did you know that? That's just 30,000. Here's another article from LifeNews.com. Abortion was the leading cause of death worldwide in 2018, killing 42 million people. And yes, they are people. They aren't fetuses. I never heard a mother say, hey, here's my fetus. Would you like to hug my fetus? I have never heard a woman refer to her baby in the womb as a fetus. And most of the time, they have already named that child. And they'll say, here's my baby, his name is. That's my baby, her name is. Or I'm considering naming him or her. I have yet to hear a pregnant woman refer to a baby as a fetus. And just the article goes on to say, this is just a heartbreaking reminder of the prevalence of abortion. The independent site, this site called Worldometers, indicate that there were nearly 42 million abortions worldwide in 2018. 42 million. This was contrasted by Breitbart News that the abortion numbers to other causes of death, including cancer, HIV, traffic accidents, suicide, found that abortions far outnumbered every other cause. So congratulations, those of you who vote Democrat. Congratulations for those of you who claim to be Christians, but yet masquerade around as liberals, or you are liberals masquerading as Christians. Congratulations to you false teachers like Beth Moore who promote these things. Congratulations to you false teachers who promote liberal politics. Congratulations, you just killed and are indirectly responsible for the death of 42 million babies. You want to know what I really think about that?
35 million, 45 million, where would be the end to all the baby killing? That's not going to happen because of the fact the new leaders will sign the Freedom of Choice Act. Planned Parenthood was told that they would not yield abort the seed before the mission. Kill, baby, kill, because the women who make these decisions, they thought long and hard, so it's okay for them to play God. It's their body and it's their choice. But what about the baby? Doesn't he have a voice? What's possessed you to make infanticide a virtue? Could it be the devil or the lust that's in you, or is it that you don't want to be responsible for 9 months of pregnancy that came from your activities? This is for the Christians who voted for the plan. For each aborted baby, the blood is on your hands.
Face this, cause you can't debate this. Most people in this world are blind. You gotta face this if you're among the faithless. You need to know you're bad out of time.
Face this here and face this now. I know you hate how this has gone down. You hate this all, but it had to be said. You wanna lay it to rest, man? I'm in and out of here.
Yo fam, this is Luminary, and I just got one more thing to say before I leave. You're either on God's side or you're not. You're either standing for the things of righteousness or you're not. There is no gray area. You need to pick a side only, because you're on the battlefield. So face it.
Yeah, what you just heard was a clip of a song I did in 2009 called Face This, and that third verse got me a lot of heat. It got me in a lot of trouble. But I can tell you this, I'm proud that I wrote that verse. I'm proud that my man Crucial produced it, and we had a great time doing that song, and it reached a lot of people, and it helped a lot of people. But as I stated before, that's the news blitz. I hope you liked it. I have to take a break. On the other side, we're going to address Beth Moore. And on the other side, we're going to address the compromise that Christian universities are making in the LGBT's liberal shakedown of Christianity. You are listening to The Truth Stand.
Lauren Daigle hasn't done more in the last year than all of her critics. That would be the discerners. That would be the people who actually care about the Bible, who actually care about souls. Yeah, the people who actually want people to be saved. The people who actually want Christians, when they're in certain positions, to actually walk in some sort of biblical, godly faith in front of the world, like we were told to. Yeah, those are critics, are, as Stephen Furtick would call it, haters. Lauren Daigle is a product of contemporary Christian music market who, because she is pretty, gets to put on stomach-bearing shirts and writhe sexually while singing about Jesus like he were her boyfriend. She could be replaced by any number of pretty girls who can sing. They're dime a dozen. There's nothing special about Lauren Daigle's verse. She's just the latest professed Christian that the world can co-op. That's exactly what she is. If you like what you just heard, you can hear episode number 5 and all of my other previous episodes by going to thetruthstand.org. Once again, that is thetruthstand.org. You can stream it, you can download it, but most importantly, you can share it. If you like it, you love it, you listen, you share it. I am your host, the Luminary, saying you can chase a lie all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. All right, I am back. I am back. You are listening to The Truth Stand. I am your host, Illuminary, and you are listening from the glorious Truth Stand Studios. And if you thought the first 20 minutes was popping, if you thought that was hot, you haven't heard anything yet. I still got to deal with Beth Moore. I still got to deal with SOGI. What's SOGI? Sexual orientation and gender identification legislation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Elections do matter, people. We're going to talk about that. But what I first want to talk about is I cannot stand Christian celebrityism. I cannot stand it. Most of the Christian church is about elevated men and elevated women. It is one thing to see somebody as a blessing, to see somebody that can help you understand the word of God, to help minister unto you. But most of Christendom, these people are exalted. These people are celebrities. This is one reason why I recoil at the Christian Post. This is one reason why I prefer the Christian News Net, well, ChristianNews.net, than the Christian Post. Because places like the Christian Post and Charisma News Magazine, they are always promoting celebrities. Almost every article is featuring somebody and is talking about what they have said, what they have done, and that is backdoor celebrityism. And I'm sick and tired of it. Give you a quick example. Because man can't save you. And the reason why we're having a lot of problems with false professions and false teachers and false contemporary Christian musicians or entertainers not standing up for scripture is because those human beings are exalted. We have abdicated our responsibility of discernment. We've given it over to the alleged leaders, people who we claim have a mandate from God, who we claim that God is putting these positions, who we exalt as the people we are to follow, and you don't see biblical precedent for any of what Christianity today calls Christian leadership. I said what they call it. I didn't say what the Bible said. I said what they call it. So don't try to play me. Now, with that being said, I'm just looking at Charisma News. Just look at some of these people. Just look at, quote, there's a picture of a guy, how this spirit-filled producer brought real-life miracles to the big screen. Big deal. So what? Who cares? Then we have a word of wisdom for those receiving prophetic dreams in this hour. Prophetic dream, quote, I am releasing audacious exploits in my people's hearts. Billy Graham, no, you can't change God's mind with more prayer. Prophetic word that led this music executive to become a worship leader. You can't break your own porn addiction by loving Jesus more, praying more, and being more disciplined. Says this preacher who I will not exalt. Christine Kane, Louis Gigolo, Corey Job, unite the next generation at Passion 2019. Oh, and here's something. Justin Bieber just got a face tattoo of Grace. Oh, that validates Christianity. Justin Bieber got a picture of Grace on his face. Evangelist Matty Montgomery, who cares, talks about metal mission and prophetic evangelism. It just goes on and on. The Protestant case for honoring the Virgin Mary. It just goes on and on. Spirit-filled worship leader. You know, it's all about what these people are doing. And these people probably think they're giving glory and honor to the Lord. But man can't save you. It also reminds me of this passage in the Gospels. In the story, you know the story when Jesus is betrayed. Jesus is put on trial and he's before Pilate. And you see how Pilate knew that Jesus was there because the Jews wanted him there. And he knew that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, that Jesus was an innocent man. And all Pilate really had to do was stand up, be a man, be a leader, and tell these people, no, I am not going to persecute this guy because he's innocent. You have not brought any legitimate or valid charges. So no, you can take that and go somewhere else with it. But no, Pilate didn't do that. He just simply, quote unquote, washed his hands of it and said, well, no, you see to it. That is exactly how politicians respond to persecuted Christians. What's my point? Man can't save you. Celebrityism, these religious celebrities, they can't save you. Man can't save you. Man will seek their own. Man will seek their own devices. Which brings me to this article in World Magazine. That is world.wng.org, World Magazine. Quote, boards back Soji compromise. Major Christian groups endorse framework to expand LGBT rights in exchange for religious protections. What I'm going to do here is I'm just going to read to you from several articles. And I'm just going to read with not much commentary. And the reason for that is because I believe that my job is to provide you with a service. My job is to provide you with information that you haven't heard before. And it is better for me just to read their own words and then let you hear for yourself and let you discern and let you decide for yourself. I will offer some commentary, but not much, okay? Now, I didn't forget about Beth Moore. I'm going to get to her in just a moment. With that being said, two major evangelical organizations have formally endorsed principles that would add sexual orientation and gender identity, or SOGI, to the federal non-discrimination law. The boards for the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities and the National Association of Evangelicals quietly passed similar motions in recent months, advancing multi-year effort that they say is necessary to preserve religious freedom. Quote, as Christian higher educators, we are increasingly persuaded that the most viable political strategy, I just want that to wash over you. We're Christians, and we're talking about viable political strategies. So, quote, viable political strategy is for comprehensive religious freedom protections to be combined with explicit support for basic human rights for members of the LGBT community. Can I ask you a question? What rights? What rights are we violating of the LGBT community? I am sick and tired of these people thinking that what their plight is the same as my plight as a black man, is to say that their plight is just like racism. No, it is not. Let me ask you a question. Were you able to drink from the same water fountain that a heterosexual could? Yes. Were you able to go to the same bathroom that a heterosexual could? Yes. As a matter of fact, we got states that are giving you your own bathrooms. For Christ's sake. Were you forced to sit in the back of the bus because you're gay? No. Were you chased down the streets by Rottweilers? Well, cops that had Rottweilers because you were dating a white girl? Were you beaten up, thrown against the wall, and had hoses of water sprayed against you at 100 pounds of pressure? No, none of those things happened to you. Were you lynched? No. So what freedoms do you not have? That quote, by the way, was from the president of Houghton College, Shirley Mullen. So with that being said, they came up with this three fairness for all, and it calls on Congress to consider federal legislation with these three principles. Now, I want you to mind you, these people want Congress to consider legislation. What Congress just got sworn in? You got it, the leftist Democrats. Nancy Pelosi is the leader. You got it. And these fools want these people to consider legislation. These people. These people who want women to kill babies for their own convenience. These people. These sick, twisted psychopaths. These sick, twisted sociopaths. Yes, I said it. The Democrat Party are a bunch of twisted sociopaths. I said it. Quote, this is the fairness for all. We believe that God created human beings in his image as male or female, and that sexual relations should be reserved for the marriage of one man and one woman. We support long-standing civil rights laws and First Amendment guarantees that protect free religious exercise. No one should face violation, harassment, or unjust discrimination on the basis of sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Think about this. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Of course people should not face discrimination and whatnot. Of course they shouldn't. But where have you as a Christian done that? What? Because you don't believe marriage is between a man and a man, but it's between a man and a woman? Why? Because you want a guy that is named Bruce to call himself Beatrice? What? I mean, what is it that we're violating? We are bending over and touching the ankles, and you want to know why? Because they don't want the persecution that comes with being an actual Christian, standing for Christian principles. What they want is to keep us silent of what we believe, and so we won't be persecuted, or there will be certain people exempt from persecution. As a matter of fact, let me tell you what this law really is going to do. This article is from the Heritage Foundation, and it's written by Ryan Anderson. This is the three takeaways from the law, the SOGI laws. One, SOGI laws trample fundamental liberties and unnecessarily impinge individuals' rights to live in ways consistent with their values. SOGI laws, number two, ban disagreement on LGBT issues by enforcing sexual orthodoxy and treat reasonable actions as discriminatory. SOGI laws do not protect equality before the law. Instead, they grant special privileges that are enforceable against private actors. Now, I am going to post every single article I referenced on my podcast on my website. So you can go into the website and read this article from theheritage.org. The title is Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Laws Are Not Fairness for All. Okay? You can read the rest of that. But with that being said, I have another article I want to read to you, and this is from the LifeSite News. This article, Liberal Freedom for All Law Means Pro-LGBT Coercion of Christians. Now, this is from the LifeSite. This is an opinion piece, but he is referencing the Daily Signal, which is where the main portion of this article comes from. Now, just to skip ahead here, I want to read something that I think is very important. It says, it's rather remarkable to think that accommodating deep differences requires passing laws that impose orthodoxy. But that's what the SOGI laws do, including fairness for all. And we have this guy that he's referencing, a guy by the name of Dreher, Rod Dreher, who's someone who's had conversations with a bunch of prominent Christians. And this guy Dreher summarizes the anonymous insider's perspective. This is somebody that he talked to about this issue. He said, there really is a question of injustice within a pluralistic society. Let me tell you something, Christian. We don't live in a pluralistic society. We do in the sense that we are in this earth, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We don't bow our knee to pluralism. What is pluralism? Basically, everybody's, all religions are the same. We live in a multi-religious world, so we must accommodate all religions. No, I do not have to accommodate all religions. No, I do not. I do not. He said, there reality is a question of justice within a pluralistic society that conservative Christians have to face. We may sincerely believe that homosexuality is morally wrong, but at what point does the common good require that we agree that gay people have a right to be wrong? Quote, back to the person who writes the article. But that's not what this policy debate is about. In the United States of America, people who identify as LGBT are free to live as they want, and that is absolutely the truth. But SOGI laws, including fairness for all, are not about freedom. They are about coercion. SOGI and fairness for all are about forcing all Americans to embrace and live out certain beliefs about human sexuality. They are not about protecting the freedom of people to live as LGBT, but about coercing everyone else to support, facilitate, and endorse such actions. This is one fundamental problem in equating coercive anti-discrimination laws with permissive religious freedom laws and imposing a bad coercive policy on everyone while exempting select faith-based institutions is anything but fairness. You know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton used to do this. They call it the shakedown. Basically, they go cause trouble, and then so people don't need to face that trouble or don't want to face that kind of trouble anymore, they say, okay, well, give us money or support this legislation, support this law, and we won't harass you anymore. That is the same thing the LGBT community is doing to the Christians. Anti-discrimination laws are about the governing, about the government coercing people to live according to the majority's values. Religious liberty laws are about removing government coercion and allowing people to live by their own beliefs. While there can be good justifications for certain anti-discrimination policies, there is no human right to them. Religious freedom, however, is a human right. Fairness for all mistakenly conflates these rather different concepts. Let me tell you something, sir. They didn't conflate anything. This was purposeful, okay? Very, very purposeful. So understand this, people. This is what we're dealing with. Why do you think I did a riff or a rant about people that call themselves leaders and we who surrender to this stuff? And we, from pastors, from theologians, to these people who run alleged Christian colleges and other alleged Christian ministries, we just sit there and we completely surrender to the notion of what they call leadership, and we just sit there and we trust it, and then these people completely sell you out. They completely turn their backs on the gospel. They completely turn their backs on the truth. But the real truth is, maybe they don't believe. Maybe they don't know what it is to be a Christian. It's almost like one preacher, an old preacher named Lester Sumrall, used to say, it depends on what you call a Christian. And so I want you to be aware of this, that we have this Democrat Party who is likely to pass these things. And let me tell you something. Once laws like this are passed, and once it is accepted that, yes, you can complain about any sort of discrimination, and we have to bow our knee. And as long as you do that, we will not be protested. We will not be attacked. But the problem is, once you give these people an inch, they want another and another. That will never be enough. These people will claim that any and everything is discrimination. They will penalize, like the Heritage Foundation said, any reasonable action as discriminatory. Why? Because the whole point of all of this is to normalize homosexuality as a lifestyle. And the only way they can do that is to destroy the one religion in the world that completely stands against it. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is biblical Christianity. That is the gospel or the word of God brought to us by the fathers, okay? Not by the fathers, but by the Lord himself. With that being said, I have one more person I need to discuss, and her name is Beth Moore. Now, as you know, I've spoken about Beth Moore before. Beth Moore's basic shtick, she's a social justice warrior. Beth Moore basically runs around claiming that we're all sexist, that Christian men are all sexist, and that the notion of there should be no female preachers and some things in the Bible that are lived and exalted are wrong, and that we Christian men who have engaged in believing those things and then imposing it upon women, we should all repent and apologize. And she runs around basically importing the world's notion of feminism into the church. She's a complete heretic, a complete lunatic. And I'm going to read something, and I am going to respond to her. Beth Moore sparks fiery debate after saying spending time reading the Bible doesn't equal spending time with God. Now, this is the Christian Post, written by some guy named Leonardo Blair. Now, the reason why the Christian Post is being used here is because this is where it first posted. And because it's the celebrity rag of choice for Christians, this is where you have to turn to get this information. Quote, this is something that she did on her tweet. Spending time with God and spending time with the Bible are not the same thing. The Bible is the word of God, crucial to knowing him, but it is not God. We can study our Bibles till the second coming and leave God completely out of it. We can grow in facts and never grow a whit in faith. See, right there, some of you, without discerning, would be like, amen, hallelujah, glory, 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 praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, she's speaking truth, because I know a bunch of Christians that claim to be Christians, and they're just evil, and they're bad, and they're wrong, and such and so forth in the third, and many of you would say, hallelujah, glory, glory, glory. But let's pick that statement apart here, okay? The Bible is absolutely clear as it relates to what the Word of God does for you. In John 17, 17, it says, Jesus in his prayer, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth is thy word. What does the Bible also say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible talks about the word of God being sharp and being powerful and is more and as powerful as a two-edged sword. So claiming that when you spend time with God, you spend time with the Bible, that's not spending time with God. That's absolutely ludicrous, because the scripture also says that that word is him revealed. It talks about in 1 Timothy how the word of God is God breathed, as divine men wrote. They wrote divine words coming from eternal glory, okay? Jesus came to do that which the Father had given him, that he which he had seen and done of the Father. He came. He preached not his own truth, but the truth of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what? The word of God. Jesus even said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, some of you might be like, brother, what she's really saying is that, you got to be, when you read the word, you got to have the presence of the Lord. And when you read the word, what she's really saying is that that doesn't mean that it changes you because you read the word. My friend, then you don't understand the power of the God-breathed word. I'm telling you, the word of God changes me. The word of God corrects me. The word of God encourages me. The word of God strengthens me. And let me tell you something. You definitely can know God by reading and studying his word. As a matter of fact, some people responded with the tweet by pointing to John 1:1, which is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, of course, Beth Moore came back with her own defense. Quote, do not be deceived. People study scriptures constantly and are continually mean-spirited, rude, slanderous, and aside their religious rhetoric, bereft of outward evidences of the Holy Spirit, are having Bible study without God. He affects us. You can take that to the bank. And then she says, let me emphasize one more point. It's not studying the scripture less. I am a proponent of daily Bible study. It's my practice. Yeah, right. My life, work, and my delight. Yeah, right. My point is that we need God in our study of his word. I'm just saying, don't leave Jesus out of the Bible, which is stupid and incoherent. What do you mean by leave Jesus out of the Bible? What in the bloody blue blazes does that mean? I'm going to explain to you why she says that. As a former and a recovering Word of Faith-aholic, I'm going to tell you what she means. Quote, well, this comes from the pulpit and pen people. Quote, this is their response. Well, in her world, spending time with God consists of fantasiful dreams of being lifted up in the air while being told by God that he's going to unite all sectors of Christendom, or strange moments of meeting a woman at a random bus stop just to give her a handful of cash because, you know, God told her to go there and stuff. Of course, spending time in scripture is the same thing as spending time with God. You cannot know God any other way. It's how he speaks to us, Hebrews 1:1. Yes, you can spend time with him in prayer as well, and you can spend time with him in worship. But what she's saying is essentially the same thing as saying that listening to your parents speak to you is not the same thing as spending time with them. The scriptures are God's full and complete revelation to us. It informs all matters of faith in him, including our prayer and worship. That's from the Pulpit and Pen guys. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That is from the Reformed Charlotte guys. Reformed Charlotte is becoming my new favorite blog, by the way. Yes, I know they're Calvinist and Reformed, but I have to just discern. But with that being said, I'm done with Beth Moore. Now, let me tell you why she says what she says. Because she's a Word of Faith heretic. And she's one of these people who believes that you need to pray in tongues a lot, and you need to, quote, invite the Holy Spirit in, and you need to be ready to get divine revelations from the Lord, and you need to pray in tongues, and you need to invite the presence of the Lord, and there needs to be outward manifestations, and there needs to be all these moves and all these things that, quote, prove that you're spiritual and prove the word. But that's absolutely incoherent. I can tell you from my own personal experience, when I have read the word, I've been convicted by the Lord because I know that that is him. I know that that's his word, because if that's not him, then what is the point? It's just like any other book out there. There is no need to trust it. There is no need to surrender one's life towards it or anything like that. Because that's the point of studying and reading the word. Then that has led me into prayer, in repentance, contemplating the word. Because see, it is true. Just reading the word does not save you. But meditating the word, meditating the word day and night through prayer and fasting, that's how one grows spiritually. So if Beth Moore was saying that, then I would agree with her. But she's not saying that. She's trying to make it into, well, you got to have all these spiritual experiences. You got to, quote, have the Spirit of the Lord. And what she means by that is a whole bunch of gobbledygook, Word of Faith fish, charismatic gobbledygook, okay? That's what she means by all of that. And we're going to end with reading a passage, one of my most favorite passages in the world. It's Psalms chapter 19, about the Word of God. And we're going to start verse 7. Matter of fact, you know what? Most people start from verse 7. In chapter 19, I'm starting from verse 1. This is chapter 19, reading from the New King James Version. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his bride chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heart. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, you can't tell me, for those who are born again, blood bought and sanctified, you cannot tell me that that wasn't power. You cannot tell me you did not feel as if you was with the Lord, because those are the Lord's words. You know how powerful that is? One last thing about Beth Moore. Her saying that is robbing you of your true, pure experience in the Lord. Pure, clean experience. Because she's basically saying you can't have Bible reading or time with the Lord by just reading the Bible by yourself. You got to have some other spiritual experiences to go along with it. And my friend, that is false. That is a lie. Speaking of lies, you can chase them all over the world, but the truth, it stands where it stands. I am your host, the Luminary. I'm out.